All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you would turn to your white handouts, we're going to sing Psalm 139 again. That's Psalm 139. Let's let those protesters, those sodomites, know how we really feel about them through the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 in your white handouts.
Surely thou wilt slay the wicked. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not agreed with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. For they speak against thee wickedly. For they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thine name in vain. And thine enemies take thine name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. I count them mine enemies. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. Am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee.
Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for allowing us to be back here this evening. I just pray that you bless the service, and I just pray that you smite all those protesters, let those filthy dogs know that they're judged according to your word, and I just pray that you bless the service and let it all be done for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, for the next song, song number 473, song number 473, Ship Ahoy. Again, that's song number 473, Ship Ahoy.
I was drifting away, alas, pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descried a stately old vessel. Kind ear, ever ready to hear, from my whale of the stream.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church and to our 5:30 p.m. service. If you don't have a bulletin, then just flag down one of the ushers, raise your hand. They should be able to get one to you. On the front, there's the Bible memory passage, Exodus chapter number 20. If you can quote that word perfect to a non-relative church member, you should receive, or you will receive, rather, a special prize. Romans 1 as well for anti-pride month, anti-fag month, whatever you want to call it. If you can quote Romans 1, you'll also get a special prize as well. Word perfect to a non-relative church member. On the inside, there's the service times, and we also have church-wide soul winning. I'm going to go ahead and get the soul winning numbers now. Let me get the numbers for Thursday. Did anybody get any salvations on Thursday? Going once, going twice. All right, how about Friday? Any salvations for Friday to note? Okay. How about Saturday? Any salvations for Saturday? I see one over there, two there. Anything else for Saturday? One over there. And I think that's it. Let's get the numbers for today at 2 p.m. Any salvations today? I got one over here, one there. I see two for Brother Tim and Brother Brent. And what was that, one? And got one over there, and I see another one over there. All right. Any other salvations for today? All right, great. And we have the expecting mothers there on the right side of your bulletin. Just keep them in prayer, especially with this weather just getting hotter and hotter. Just pray that they'll have a successful and problem-free pregnancy. The prayer list has gone over on Wednesdays. There's the upcoming events. July 3rd, we have the DFW Soul Winning Marathon and Hot Dogs. September 11th, Shreveport, Louisiana Soul Winning Marathon. Make sure you come out for that. Going to get some souls saved. October 6th through 10th, Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship. I know I covered this in the morning, but I went to the one in 2019. It was awesome. And I have a feeling this one is going to be just as good, if not even better. There's going to be a spelling bee, all kinds of different events, great fellowship, great preaching. You're going to miss out if you don't take time out of your schedule to go to this conference. We congratulated Brother Nick and his wife, the Canaries, for the birth of their daughter in the morning. And one last thing, I know it's already been plugged, but I'm going to plug it again. We have the Sodomite Deception DVDs in. They're over there in that area where you can get some free stuff. And here's the thing, if you want to radicalize a friend or family member, and I say that in a positive way, right? The media uses, you know, Islamic radicalization as a negative thing, which it is, but, you know, let's radicalize some people to actually love the Lord Jesus Christ and love His Word and love the Bible by giving these out to people. And certainly when you go out soul winning, don't be shy about handing these out. I think these DVDs look great. So just wanted to give them an extra plug. But that's all I've got for the announcements. Pastor Shelley, by the way, he is today at Oklahoma City. I announced that in the morning. He's preaching there at our church plant. And so make sure you check out his sermons whenever you have an opportunity throughout the week. And also, in case you were wondering, Brother Dylan Oz is out of town as well, preaching at a Sure Foundation Baptist Church plant in Spokane. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I think it's Spokane, though. Spokane, Washington. That's where Dylan Oz is at today, in case you were wondering. But that's all I've got. And let's go to the next song. Brother Alberto will lead us.
All right. For the next song, we're singing 220. That's song number 220. Jesus is all the world to me. Song number 220.
As the offering plates are being passed around, please turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church, and thank you for all the souls that were won out soul winning today. I pray, Lord, you would fill Brother Duncan with your spirit and allow him to preach boldly your word and edify us that we may better glorify you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, glad to be here tonight. I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to preach here. Obviously, thanks unto God. You know, it's always a blessing to be able to preach his word. And thank you for everybody for your support tonight, for being here this Sunday night. And we're here in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. So this is a very famous story in the Old Testament because it has the greatest commandment in the Bible in it. And it starts there in verse number 3. It says, Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And it says in verse number 5, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so this chapter is going to help teach us how we are to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, because of all the things the Lord has done for us. Isn't that pretty reasonable that we should love him perfectly, completely with our lives? And that the title of the sermon tonight is called Immersed in God's Word, immersing yourself in God's Word. What does it mean to be immersed? When I think of being immersed, you might think of baptism, right? You're fully immersed in the water. You're completely surrounded by it. You're dwelling completely inside of it. You're immersed in God's Word, that where God's Word is your life. Your entire life is centered around God's Word. It's everything to you. It's what your whole life is about. It's what God wants for you, is to be immersed in His Word. And that's what He's saying here in Deuteronomy. We're going to go back to verse number 1. It says, Deuteronomy 6:1, Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. So God's about to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. He promised Abraham and their fathers that they're going to inherit this land. And he says, hey, these are the commandments I want you to follow. And it says in verse number 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So he's given these commandments for their benefit. These commandments weren't to destroy the children of Israel or to be a burden. He's trying to teach them the right way. It's for their benefit. It says, hey, if you go into the land and you keep my word, if you keep my commandments, your days are going to be prolonged. It's going to be well with you. I'm going to bless you greatly as long as you'll keep his commandments. And that's why he's trying to show them here, hey, this is everything I want you to do whenever you go into the promised land. Otherwise, your days aren't going to be prolonged. Otherwise, you're going to get wiped out completely. You're going to get decimated. And it's funny because God warned them that that's what's going to happen to them, and they did it anyway, right? If you read the Old Testament, it's like God told them, like, hey, whenever you leave me and forsake me, this is what's going to happen to you. And then they end up leaving and forsaking God, and then God just wipes them out. They're scattered to all nations. The Babylon takes them over. I mean, the children of Israel, because they didn't hearken to God's commandments, God completely destroyed them. It says, we'll read verse 3 again. It says, Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. So again, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a good land. God's going to prosper them there. And if they hearken unto God, it's going to be well with them. And that's the purpose of knowing God's word. That's why we want to be immersed in God's word, so it's well with us. Right? I want to be completely immersed in God's word because I want to know what God said, so God will bless me for that. In all aspects of my life, firstly, for salvation, right? I want salvation first. I want to know I have a home in heaven. But that's not it. I also want God to bless me in all aspects of my life. And that's why I want to be completely immersed in God's word, so I'll always have God's blessing upon me. I'll always know the commandments of the Lord, so I won't forget the Lord. So I won't forget his words, or I won't forget what he's done for me, so I can serve him all the days of my life. That's the purpose. That's why we want to be immersed in God's word, so we will be blessed. It says in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." See, God doesn't want a piece of you. He says, hey, I want everything. I want you to be wholly given unto me, right? He wants us to be immersed in his word. He wants us to love him with a perfect heart, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And it says in verse number 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That doesn't sound very optional to me, does it? When God says, hey, these words shall be in thine heart, you know what that tells me? That's a commandment. That I better get these words specifically into my heart. And here's the thing. God wants us to know every part of his word. Yeah. God wants us to know everything he said throughout all ages. He said he wants all of his word to be in our heart. That's why we want to be completely immersed in God's word, because this is a commandment, right? This is not optional. He says, these shall be in your heart. Verse number 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know what that tells me? This is all day. He says, hey, I want you to teach these things diligently to your children. Look, you better make sure you teach your children diligently everything in God's word. And look, if you need to hear it, your children need to hear it, look, everybody needs it. We need to every part of God's word, and we got to be very diligent. Why? Because God wants us to know every part of his word. He wants us to be completely immersed in his word. He says, I want you to talk about it when you're just sitting in your house, just talking. When you're sitting there fellowshipping with friends or talking with your family, he says, I want you to be talking about my commandments. Right? He wants you to be immersed in his word. He says, and when you're walking by the way, when you're just going about your day, when you're walking down the street, you know, when you're driving your car, he's saying, look, I want you to be talking about these commandments. Now, specifically here, he's talking about teaching your children, right? So whenever you're with your children, you want to be teaching them whenever they wake up about their day. But it's not just for your kids. This is for everybody, right? We should all be talking about the commandments all throughout the day, teaching ourselves, teaching one another. And when you lie down, he says, when you're going to bed at night, I also want you to be talking about my word, right? And when you rise up. So it's like, hey, whenever you get up, whenever you're sleeping, when you're going about your day, he just wants you to be completely surrounded by his word. He wants every aspect of your day to just be immersed in God's word all day. Verse number 8, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." He's saying, look, I want you to be so deep and rooted in God's word, I want you to put it on your hand where you're just looking at it, right? And we don't want to take these commandments over literally, right? I don't think it's a sin if you wake up and you just, like, you didn't immediately teach your child, all right, here, John 3:16. We don't want to take the over, you know, literal interpretation where it's like, literally, you better be doing this every second of the day. But it's a general theme, right? Generally, look, hey, when you get up, you want to be talking about God's word. When you're going to bed, you want to be thinking about God's word and talking about it, right? And teaching it to your children, right? It's just all aspects of your day. It's not over literally. I don't think we all need to, like, get a wristband and literally put it on our hand. But what's the application? What does God want us to do? He wants us to be immersed in God's word where we're always looking at it, right? If it's bound upon your hand, you think about like a watch or something, it's just readily available. You can see it all day. It's always with you. And that's really what God wants. God wants his word always to be with you. Why? He wants you to visually see it. That's why he's saying bind it upon your hand. He wants you to visually see it. Why? That way it's in your heart, yeah. Right? Because God wants you to be completely immersed in his word. He says they're going to be as frontlets between thine eyes. So it's like your glasses. It's just like something that's always in front of you. It's always in front of your face. It's just like you're always looking at God's commandments. You're being reminded so you don't forget the Lord. Because it's really easy to forget the Lord when you're caught up in the lust of the flesh, when you're just going about your day, you're not really thinking about the Bible. And that's why God's saying, hey, he always wants you to look upon these things so you don't forget. Verse number 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I think God's trying to get something through to us. He's saying, I want you to talk about it all day. I want you to wear my commandments. I want it to be in front of your eyes. Not only that, you're supposed to write it on the posts of your house. Right? You got your door. You got your trim around your door. He said, I want you to write it upon your door. Why? So every time you get home, you just see God's commandment. Right? Love God with all your heart. Love your enemies. Right? Love your neighbor. So we're always reminded about these things, and other people can see it too. They can see the commandments of God and on thy gates. It's like Hearst should just have God's commandments just written all over the city. Now, they're not going to do that because that's very offensive, right? They start putting up God's commandments, there's going to be an angry mob out there, right, trying to protest God's commandments. Why? Because the world hates God's commandments. They're grievous unto the world. But what's the idea? What do we keep getting out of this chapter, out of Deuteronomy chapter number 6? God wants you to be immersed in his word. Every aspect of your life. He's saying, hey, when you're at home, when you're waking up, when you're going to sleep, whenever you're about your day on your house, he just wants you to be surrounded by God's word. Why? Why is it so important that we're immersed in God's word? Look at verse number 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He's saying, look, y'all were slaves in Egypt. I'm going to take you to this land, and I want you to do these things. I want you to remember the commandments of the Lord. That way you don't forget the Lord when you go into the land, and you're profiting about all these things. Your houses are full of all these things you didn't even earn. You're just freely given to you, right? You're profiting all these trees and vineyards and fruits, and you didn't even plant any of it. Right? And that's kind of like our life. Like we didn't go out and plant an olive yard or, you know, orchard or anything. No, we just go to the store, we just get to eat the apple, right? We didn't really do any work that. We're just profiting off the land. And what he's trying to say, when God blesses you, you don't want to just take it for granted and forget him. Because that can be the tendency. It's like, well, all your needs are met, you're full, and you don't need God anymore, and you forget the Lord, and you forget his commandments. We don't want to ever get to that point. That's why he's warning him. He literally said, beware. It's a warning, and that's why I want to warn us all tonight that we don't forget the Lord, that our lives should be completely centered around the Bible. Go ahead and turn to Numbers chapter number 15. Numbers chapter number 15. So again, why is this so important that we're immersed in God's word? So we don't forget the Lord. That way we're blessed, and also so we're not destroyed. I mean, that's reason enough, right? That I want to be completely immersed in God's word. Like, I want that to be a center point of my life because I don't want to be destroyed. I don't want God to destroy me. I don't want to go into a life of sin. I don't want God to destroy me, my wife, our child, our family. I want to live a very peaceable and prosperous life. I want God to bless me, right? And that's why we want to beware so we will be blessed, so we don't forget the commandments of our Lord. So my goal for this sermon is to help us all to get more rooted and to get more grounded in God's word, to help us all get immersed in God's word, where God will look at your life in every aspect of your life. It's like, man, it's just all about the commandments of the Lord. And that way, God, you're pleasing unto God. Because just because you're saved does not mean you're always pleasing to God, right? God can be very disappointed. He can be ashamed of even his own children, even his own people. Right? Now, thank God you're always saved, you're always going to be his child, you're always going to go to heaven. Nothing could ever change your heavenly destination, but you don't want to be displeasing to God while you're here on this earth. We want to be as pleasing as we can so we will be blessed upon him. And what we could see from Deuteronomy chapter number 6, not only we're supposed to be thinking about God's word and preaching it and talking about it to us, our family, our friends, It's supposed to be a frontlets on our eyes. It's supposed to be on a doorpost of our house. But we also see God has this concept all throughout the Bible. And I had you turn to Numbers chapter number 15. Look at verse number 38. It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God." So not only all the stuff we talked about in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, even after that, they're still messing up. He's like, all right, I'm going to add something else. Not only you need to do all the other stuff, but it seems like you're still forgetting about my commandments. So what I want you to do, he says, I want you to put a little blue fringe on the borders of your garments, right? They're supposed to put fringes like on their arms and their legs, the bottom of their garment. Why? What's the point? Why do you need a little piece of blue? Why do you need a blue ribbon around your clothing to remember the Lord? Because it's really easy to forget God and his commandments. He's saying, look, everywhere you go, everybody's wearing these blue fringes. Why? To help you remember, hey, you better fear God and keep his commandments. That way we never forgive him. So as Christians, everything in our life should be centered around the things of God. Because when you forget the things of God, God might end up destroying you. You can completely wreck your life. Turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Because there is a lot of people in this world, they do forget the Lord. They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. And not only are they deceived, but they'll also deceive other people. They'll deceive other good people with a sincere heart. They'll deceive even Christians, even saved believers. And that's why we want to be rooted and grounded in God's word, so we don't turn out to be like one of these faggot-loving people out here, these faggot-loving Christians out here. We're supporting children of the devil. Why? Because they're not immersed in God's word. They don't know Romans 1. They don't know other chapters of the Bible. They don't know Psalm 149. We sing it twice today, right? Why? Because we want you to be immersed in God's word. We want you to remember that, hey, there are certain kinds of people in this world that it's okay for you to hate them. Where David is literally praying to God, telling God that I hate them with a perfect hatred. There are other parts and prayers and psalms where he's literally praying for people to be blotted out of the book of life. I mean, what's a harsher judgment than that, than praying for somebody to die and go to hell? But you know what? Whenever we preach that, you know why so many people get offended? Because they're not immersed in God's word. Yeah. They never read these scriptures, so you start preaching all these things. They're like, I've never heard that before. Yeah, because you haven't read it. You haven't been immersed in God's word. You haven't had a prophet, you haven't had a man of God tell you what the Bible says. And now that you're finally hearing it, you're like, what? I thought we were only supposed to love. God is love, because that's the only part of the Bible they've heard. See, they're not immersed in God's word where they haven't had the right balance. Obviously, as Christians, we're supposed to love. That should be the majority of our life, is to love. But you know what? People don't want to preach the negative things in the Bible. See, they're not completely surrounded by God's word. They don't have a proper balanced diet. It's off. They didn't get the hate part. Because look, if you're going to sit here and tell me that I should love some freak, some pedophile, then you got a messed up mind. Amen. Your mind's been corrupted. Yeah. You've been polluted. I can tell right away you're not in God's word. You're going to tell me I should love some serial killer? Some guy who walks into a school and shoots a bunch of kids, I'm supposed to love him? And you're going to tell me that I'm hateful and I'm sinful for hating certain people? That's wickedness. Look, as a Christian, there are certain people, if I don't hate, then I'm in sin. Like, what would be wrong with me where I wouldn't hate somebody who'd walk into a school and shoot a bunch of children? If you wouldn't hate somebody like that, then something's wrong with you. Amen. And if you're not offended by men with men or women with women or any of this freak and sodomy in this world, then something's wrong with your mind because you haven't read the scriptures. Right. Look at Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So we have a group of people right here, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They think of God and they hate Him. They don't even want to think about Him. They don't love the Bible. They read the Scriptures and they mock it. They scoff at it. And any of these sodomites who pretends like they love the Bible also says they're full of deceit. Why? Because they're infiltrators. They pretend to be Christians. Why? So you'll be on their side. So you'll love them so they can deceive you and destroy you and your family. Because that's their goal. Why? Because it says they're filled with all unrighteousness. Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only are they worthy to die, they know the judgment of God and they take pleasure in evil. They love it when people sin. Why? Because just like the devil, they're filled with all unrighteousness. And we don't have time to completely break down Romans chapter 1 tonight, but the Bible says, who is filled with all unrighteousness? It says, men with men. Women with women. They change the men with men. They change the natural use of a woman against nature. They do things, what did it say? They're without natural affection. What's natural affection? Things that are normal, things that are natural, things that are traditional, like a man with a woman. That's natural. A man with a woman is natural. You know what's not natural? A man with another man. And that's what the Bible's talking about here in Romans chapter 1. It's talking about reprobates who are filled with all unrighteousness. Look, and we need to be immersed in God's Word so we know these Scriptures. So we know that these people are filled with all unrighteousness. Do you know why we preach that every sodomite is a pedophile? Because they're filled with all unrighteousness. Isn't being a pedophile unrighteous? These people are literally filled with all unrighteousness. How are you going to say that they're not a pedophile? Now, maybe they haven't done it yet, but you know what's in their heart? They would love to do it. They don't despise it when other people do it. They love that. They get a kick out of that. And how are you as a Christian going to support somebody like that when they're filled with all unrighteousness? Look, you need to get immersed in God's Word so you can pray for the death of these people. Now, obviously, it's not our job to do it. The Bible tells us it's a criminal offense. That the cops, there are police here this morning, weren't there? Those cops should have arrested those freaks and put them to death. Yeah. It's not my job. But just like a murderer would be treated, where a murderer, they get caught, they get tried, and then they get put to death, that's how these people should be put to death. Not by us. We just need to preach against them. We're not going to, it's not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. We preach against them. We're not violent. Nobody in here condones violence, right? But if one of them dies, hey, that's great. If one of them gets hit by a truck, great. That's one less pedophile that exists in this world.
Yeah, that's right.
And you need to be immersed in God's Word so when you hear preaching like that, you don't get offended. Yeah. Where you wake up and be like, wow, what was I thinking? Yeah, of course they should be put to death. Like, that's so weird. That's so bizarre that a man would be attracted to another man. What's wrong with these freaks? You need to get immersed in God's Word so you can have a renewing of your mind. Isn't that what it says in Romans chapter 12? That we need to have a renewing of our mind? Because, look, the world, they don't care. They don't know the commandments of the Lord. So, of course, they're going to be offended of it. I think the reprobate doctrine especially offends the world because they're not even saved. Look, certain doctrines, the world, they can't understand them at all. Because they think that you got to turn from your sins to be saved. So when you start preaching a reprobate doctrine that some people are beyond salvation, that they hate God, they can't be saved, they can't understand that. Because they think, well, they could turn from their sins and still get saved, but they don't know the gospel. The gospel isn't turning from your sins. The gospel is changing your mind, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, these people, they can't get saved because they can't believe. Why do you have all these scriptures in the Bible where it says that God hardens their heart? Why would God harden someone's heart where they can't believe or understand the scriptures if God wanted them to be saved? Why would we even have the verse where it says, like, hey, God hardened their heart? Why would he do that? Why do we even have Romans chapter 1 if they could be saved? What would be the point? He gives them over to all unrighteousness, hopefully, so they'll eventually get saved later. What? Why wouldn't you just let them not be filled with all unrighteousness and hopefully they'll get saved later? No, he hardens their heart because they can't believe. They hate God. Look, and why would God turn them to a reprobate if they might get saved in the future? Isn't God all-knowing? Can't God tell whether somebody's going to get saved eventually? He's outside of time. He knows if people are going to eventually believe on him or not. And that's why I think God gives them over to a reprobate mind, because God knows, hey, no matter what I show them, no matter what truths they hear, no matter how much of the gospel that they hear, no matter how much about Jesus Christ they hear, they're never going to believe anyway. So let's just seal the deal right now. Give them over to a reprobate mind. That way you can realize, hey, there's something really wrong with this person. So you can be warned. And that's why we need to be immersed in God's word, so we can be warned about these things. And if you don't like being warned about people like that, then I guess you wouldn't like the Apostle Paul. Where the Apostle Paul is warning his people, the people he got saved, the churches he started, the churches he planted. He's literally warning them day and night with tears, warning them about false brethren, about wolves. So, I mean, if you don't like this kind of preaching, then you're not really going to like the Bible that much. You wouldn't like the Apostle Paul that much. He's literally warning, you think this preaching gets repetitive? Paul's literally warning people day and night with tears about false prophets. And we need to keep being reminded of these things so we don't forget the commandments of the Lord. So we don't get soft in certain areas of our life where we'll always know, hey, no, this is what the Bible says, and I'm ready to defend the scriptures. I'm ready to defend attacks. When people start judging me or persecuting me, like, hey, I'm already immersed in God's word. I know what the Bible says. You're not going to change my mind. Why? Because the Bible's very clear. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. That was a little break from the sermon. But we want to be immersed in God's word so we don't get destroyed by the world. Because look, I'm sure a lot of those people aren't even sodomites. They're just supporting sodomites because something's wrong with their brain. I don't know how you could ever support a sodomite. But if you read Judges 19, where, you know, the sodomites were encompassing the house, and then they raped that lady and killed her, and then, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but then the Israelites were going to destroy those sodomites who did that, as they should have been. But what happened? No, the little Benjamites, they need to defend them. They stood up for all the sodomites. What is wrong with them? It's like they literally had people in their town who just literally just murdered this lady and were trying to sodomize other men. Thankfully, they escaped that, but they just sent the woman out to the wolves. And then the Benjamites don't want to do any justice, don't want to do any judgment. You know what God did to them? The entire tribe of Benjamin was almost just completely destroyed in Judges chapter number 20. So that's why I'm preaching this as well, so Christians don't get caught up in that. Because you get caught up with the Benjamites, you might just get destroyed with all the sodomite lovers out there. Those people are lucky the earth just doesn't open up and swallow them. They should realize the holy God we worship, and they should have a fear of God, but they don't have a fear of God. And we need to be warned about this, because the devil can deceive us to believe wrong things and get us on the wrong side. The devil can get us to start hating the brethren, to start hating your brothers and sisters of Christ, and that'll eventually destroy your life. You start hating your brethren in the heart, you end up despising the commandments of the Lord, you end up despising church, you could really destroy your life, and that's why we all need to be constantly warned about these things. And as Christians, we should be the complete opposite of these reprobates in the world. The Bible says they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. We need to be the exact opposite. We want to be completely immersed in God's word, where we love it, hearing God's word. When the Bible is being preached, we're like, yes, I love that. Give me some more. I love God's word. I need to know more of it. It's good for me. It's good for my family. And the Bible has this concept everywhere. I had you turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. It says in verse number 13, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at this. It says, meditate upon these things. And look at this. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You know why we should be immersed in God's word? Just like it says, we're supposed to be wholly given to the scriptures. Giving yourself wholly to the scriptures. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul, he's giving this epistle to Timothy, but it's not just for Timothy. Look, Timothy is a pastor. He's the one in charge of the church. He's the one leading the church. Of course, he needs to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Look, he needs to be rooted and grounded. But if it's good for Timothy, it's good for us. Don't we need to give attendance to reading? It's like, well, this is only for Timothy. It's like, no, we need to give attendance to reading as well. Especially as a pastor, though, he's supposed to meditate upon these things. And as a pastor, he's supposed to give himself wholly to them. Like, that's what his entire life should be centered around, is the Bible. He's the man of God. He's the one preaching the word of God. Of course, he needs to be wholly given to the scriptures. But hey, if it's good for the pastor, if it's good for Timothy, it's also good for us. We also should be wholly given to the scriptures, and we should give attendance to reading. We should know the scriptures. We should be completely immersed in it. When I think about giving yourself wholly to them, giving yourself wholly to the scriptures, makes me think about being sold out. Again, like where every aspect of your life is about the word of God. Every aspect of your life is about the commandments of God. We have other commandments like in the Bible about being zealous. What's the difference about being a zealous Christian and just being a regular Christian? A regular Christian, they're more apathetic. Things in the Bible aren't really a big deal. The commandments of the Lord, they don't take very seriously. A zealous Christian, you know what he's going to try to do? He's going to give himself wholly to the scriptures. He's going to be a soul winner. He's going to do his part to reach every creature with the gospel, where he's wholly given to the word of God, where every aspect of his life is about the word of God. It's who you are. It's what you're about. When God looks at you, he sees your life, and it's just wholly given to the scriptures, right? Where you're giving yourself as a living sacrifice, where you're abstaining from the lusts of this world, and you're giving yourself to the scriptures. You're offering yourself unto God. And the Bible says that is our reasonable service. It says in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Not only if you give yourself to the scriptures, it's not only going to save yourself. It's not only going to be for your best interest. It's also going to be for your family and the people you preach to, the church you preach to, the people that hear the word of God. It's going to benefit everybody that hears the word of God and applies it. It's going to be good for them. Like it said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, that it's going to be well with you and you're going to be prosperous in the land. And the Bible also has a concept of being filled with the Spirit. Again, what's the idea? We want to be immersed in God's word. We want to be immersed in the scriptures. You think about being filled with the Spirit. It says in Ephesians 5:8, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled? We're just topped out. You're at the max. You're filled. It's not half full. It's all the way full. This is a full bottle of water, and that's what the Bible says. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. We don't want a little bit of the Holy Spirit in our life. No, we want a lot of the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the Bible talked about Jesus. The Bible says that God gave not the Spirit by measure unto him. Why was Jesus able to do so much for God? Because he's just filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus is the Word of God. Talk about being immersed in the Scriptures. Jesus is the Bible. Jesus is the Word of God. And if you look at the life of Jesus Christ, like that's every aspect of his life. What was Jesus Christ doing in his life? He'd wake up, he's praying, he's making disciples, he's going around teaching people the gospel, he's going around teaching the Bible. I mean, what aspect of the life of Jesus Christ was not centered around the Word of God? He is the Word of God. Yeah. And if we're supposed to model Christ, shouldn't that be what our life is about? Shouldn't we also be immersed in God's Word? Shouldn't we also be maxed out? Shouldn't we also be filled with the Holy Spirit? I don't want a little bit of the Holy Spirit. I want all the Spirit. I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit on my life. It says in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, the whole reason why Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, not only to give us salvation, that we have a home in heaven, that to sanctify us, to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, God wants really zealous Christians. What does it say in Deuteronomy chapter number 6? Love him with a perfect heart, with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all your soul, to be zealous of good works. God wants a zealous Christian. He wants somebody who's fired up. God wants somebody who loves the things of God. They love doing spiritual things. They love hearing the word of God. That's the type of Christian that God loves. He sees that guy as a Christian. He's like, man, this guy is great. He's doing all the things I commanded him. He's reading his Bible. He's praying. He loves going to church. He's sharing my word. Like, man. And if you look at certain people in the Bible, God looked at their lives and he said, they're blameless. It's like they're doing great. Obviously, we all sin. We all still struggle. But you got some righteous people in the Bible. You think about Daniel. Think about Job. You think about John the Baptist, his father, Zechariah. Why did God pick him? Because he's blameless. Like, man, this is a faithful servant unto me. And that's who God ends up using the majority of the time. People who are zealous. People who are sold out. Right? And that's what we want to try to be. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. Doesn't it say in Revelation, say, hey, I would you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I don't want a lukewarm Christian. Somebody who thinks they're something when they're not. Somebody who pretends to be a Christian. Somebody, he said, I'd rather you be cold. Obviously, God doesn't want you to be a cold Christian. But the idea is, look, he wants you to be hot. He wants you to be on fire. He wants you to be zealous. He wants you to be immersed in God's word. And we are to love him with a perfect heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. It says in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry for God's word? Do you want to know what God said? Do you want to be in the will of God? Do you want to know what God wants for your life? The Bible says if we hunger and we thirst after righteousness, we're going to be filled. We should all have that desire in our hearts. Like, man, we want to learn. We want to grow. We want to be better. Why? So we can be more faithful to God. I mean, it's the least that we could do. Jesus Christ died for us. He paid the price for all of our sins. The least we could do is serve him with a zealous heart. And so we should all be hungry for righteousness. And the Bible gives us a promise. If we do, then we're going to be filled. And we should also be seeking for wisdom. Again, knowing God's commandments, knowing his word, immersing ourselves in God's word, seeking for wisdom, seeking to please God. That's why I had to turn to Proverbs chapter number 3, because it talks so much about getting wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter number 3. Look at verse number 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You want to be a happy person? Get smarter. It's a hard life when you're stupid. And that's why we need to immerse ourselves in God's word. Because naturally, just without the word of God, without the spirit of God, it's like we do a lot of stupid, foolish things. And he's saying, if you want to be happy, you need to find some wisdom. And where else are you going to get wisdom outside of God's word? It's going to be few and far between out in this world. That's why we need to be wholly given to the scriptures. Why? So we can be happy. I mean, wouldn't we all like to be happier? Wouldn't we like to have the joy of the Lord and be more filled with the Spirit? That sounds great to me. And so we should be seeking for wisdom. It says in verse number 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. A lot of people out in this world, they're just chasing money. He's saying wisdom is so much better than money. Why are you chasing after money? You're not. If you love silver, you're not going to be satisfied with it. You're just going to want more. You're going to be better off if you're seeking after wisdom. Look, getting amassing a bunch of wealth, you think that's going to make you happy? It's not. It says, the happy is the man that seeketh after wisdom, seeking after God's commandments. It says, she is more, verse number 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. You can't compare anything to the wisdom of God. Not all the rubies in this world, all the gold in this world, any kind of riches you can imagine in this world cannot be compared with the word of God. It says, length of days, verse number 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. You want to live a long life? Seek God's commandments. Right? You can eat all the organic food you want and eat it, take all the supplements you want, and those are great. Try and be healthy, right? But you really want length of days? You better get some wisdom. If you don't have a lot of wisdom, you can eat all the healthy, nice food you want, but it's not going to do you as good as following God's commandments, because you can eat healthy and you live a sinful life, you might destroy yourself way quicker, right, than eating McDonald's or whatever. It said in verse number 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. Again, these are some great things I would like to have in my life. I'd like to have a peaceful life. I'd like to have a happy life. And that's why I need to be seeking after God's word. I need to be immersed in God's word because I'm going to get these things, right? Didn't it say if I keep the commandments of the Lord that I'm going to be blessed, I'm going to be prosperous in the land? This is what it's talking about. Getting wisdom is going to be better than being a billionaire. That's what it's saying. Like, if you just get wisdom and you get the word of God in your heart and you're following that, it's going to be better than being a billionaire. Right? I don't need to seek after millions and billions of dollars. I just need to seek after God's commandments. And that'll also give me longer life. Right? My days will be blessed with peace. So verse number 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom is going to help you in every area of your life. And that's why we need to be immersing ourselves in God's word so we can get that wisdom. It says in Jeremiah 17, the heart, 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know what your heart is like? Desperately wicked. Desperately, it's like you have no hope. It's like you're just desperately wicked. It's like you just look at your heart, like, man, this is bad. You think about your carnal mind, it's bad. And that's why you need to seek after wisdom. Because God is literally telling you, hey, your heart is deceitful above all things. Everything. It's like just the most deceitful things. It's desperately wicked. Like, it's just so bad. How much we sin in our carnal mind, it's just so bad. It's just desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's like, you don't even know how bad it is sometimes. And that's why we need the Word of God. We need to immerse ourselves in God's Word so we can purify ourselves from that natural, that carnal mind. It says in Psalm 119, verse number 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. See, people who love God's word, they're immersed in God's word, they love hearing God's commandments. And that's how we should all, that's the reaction we should all have when we hear God's word. So I love your law, and I'm thinking about it all the day. What does it mean to meditate all upon? It says that it is my meditation all the day. What does that mean? You're thinking about it all the day. You're immersed in it. You're just completely surrounded by it. You're just given wholly to it. So I think we're starting to see a pattern here. You getting the point so far? That we want to be immersed in God's word. So hopefully, I want to start off with that because I want to stir up your desire to get to know the Bible better, to learn more of the Bible, to be seeking after wisdom. So now I'm going to get into some practical things we can actually apply to our life, right? To get very specific, because it's nice to hear the word of God and have that desire, but it's like, okay, now what do I do? So I want to try to give some practical things you can actually apply in your life. And one aspect I want to bring up too, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, that's why we want to be immersed in God's word, because it's the most important thing in this world. The faith that saved you and got you to heaven, you know where that came from? God's word. Without God's word, if we weren't immersed in knowing the salvation of God's word, it's like we'd have no hope. We'd be on our way to hell. So again, that's why the Bible is so important. So step number one, some practical advice, right, to be immersed in God's word. If you're going to get immersed in God's word, you know what you need to do for step number one? You need to have God's word, right? If you got the wrong Bible, you might be immersed in the wrong thing. You might be immersed in man's word, right? You might be immersed in the devil's word. We got to make sure we're immersed in the right word, because there's a lot of fakes out there. There's a lot of fraudulent Bibles. And at this church, we believe in the King James Bible, with King James Version. In English, if you're using anything other than that, it's not the Word of God. So step one, you got to get the Word of God. Now, I don't have enough time to go through the whole history and why the King James is the Word of God. Hopefully, if you're in here, you're already persuaded on that. If you're not persuaded on the King James, you need to get that settled right now. You need to go home and do all the research so you can actually get immersed in the right book. Right? How are you going to accept every single version of the Bible in English? It's foolishness. It's stupid. If you think every version of the Bible in English is correct, it's the Word of God, you're a fool. Because there's literally Bibles, if you take like the NIV and you compare it to the King James, there's literally parts where it says the opposite things. If they say completely different things, they can't both be true, right? Things that are different are not the same. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 22. I was going to give you one example. Like I said, I don't have all night to bash all these other Bibles, but I at least want to give you one idea. Deuteronomy 22. Let me turn there myself. It should be pretty easy to figure out which Bible you should use in English. Because when you start comparing them, you're like, I don't know, should I use the NIV or the King James? I mean, the King James has this older language. Everybody's telling me to use the NIV. Which one should I actually use? Well, look, if you study it out yourself, you should see it's pretty easy to see what's the Word of God and what is not. I had you turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 22. Let's start reading at verse number 28. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. Because he hath humbled her, he may not put her away all his days. So he's saying, look, if you got two unmarried people, she's not betrothed, they're not engaged, they're not married, just two single people, and a guy lies with her, he's supposed to pay the dowry of the virgins 50 shekels, he's supposed to marry that lady. He's supposed to marry her, right? And that makes sense. He humbled her, took away her virginity, that's the right thing to do. Yeah. And that's all it's saying. It's saying, hey, look, you got two single people, they end up sleeping together, you should marry that person. Right? If you're going to actually follow the scriptures, that just makes sense, right? Now, if you read the NIV, you know what it's going to say? This is where you could tell what's the Word of God and what is not the Word of God. In the NIV, you know what it says in Deuteronomy 22, verse number 28? It says, if a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married, that sounds pretty similar, right? Finds a virgin, they're not married or anything, and rapes her. And they are discovered, he shall pay his father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. Is that the same?
No.
That's completely different. Where in the King James did it say that he raped her? That he violated her? No, it said he lied with her. He went to bed with her. Fornication, obviously it's not right, but did it even have an inkling that says like, hey, that she was forced? No. So you got two different things. Those say two completely different things, right? And the King James just sounds wonderful. It's like, yeah, that's the right thing to do. That makes sense that you should marry that person. You humbled her. You should get married. But the NIV, that doesn't make any sense at all. If two virgins, if they sleep together, but it wasn't consensual, it was actually raped, she was forced, and now you got to marry that person, and God's commanding you, he says he must marry her. It's not even optional. That doesn't sound like a commandment from God. And these are two different things, so you got to pick. You can't believe that the King James and the NIV are both the Word of God. You have to pick. Like I said, first, to be immersed in God's Word, you got to make sure you got the right one. It's pretty clear. We could talk all night about all the heresies and all the false doctrines these other Bibles produce. But look, that's just one example. A commandment in the NIV is telling you, If somebody forces another woman that you have to marry that person, you should immediately realize, wow, this is trash, this is not the Word of God, and literally light it on fire. Amen. You know why Pastor Shelley at Pure Words, they do an annual Bible burning? It's a false Bible burning because it's not the Word of God. And it's very clear. I mean, do the research yourself. If you can't figure out the King James is the Word of God, you got problems. Yeah. And you're probably not even saved because if you can't believe the King James Bible, if you can't hear the Word of God, if you don't recognize the voice of the shepherd, are you even saved? Can you not tell the difference? I mean, do you not know the words of God and the words of the devil? The devil's telling you that in that situation that you'd have to marry the person that raped you? That's the voice of Satan, my friend. Should be pretty easy to discern. So like I said, I can't talk all night about the King James issue. I just want to give you one solid point. The King James, that's where you want to start. Get immersed in the King James Version, not the New King James Version, not the NIV, not the ESV. You know, some people, they'll flee to other versions of the Bible. Well, the NIV is not the Word of God, but then they'll go to the ESV. And the ESV has all sorts of other problems as well. I even looked it up in the same passage. It doesn't say raped. like it did in the NIV, but it did use the word, it didn't use the word like lies with her and goes to bed with her or anything like that. It says seizes her, which that doesn't necessarily say rape, but later it says that he still violated her. So that still gives the indication that it was force. So even the ESV in that version, like, it doesn't say the same in the King James. So again, I can't go on all night about that as much as I would love to. So step number one, get the right Bible, right? Makes sense. If you're going to get immersed in God's Word, make sure you got the Word of God in your hand. You don't want to waste your life reading the wrong book, don't you? Step number two, really complicated. You know what you got to do? Read it. Read it. You want to get immersed in, how are you going to get immersed in God's Word? You're going to be completely surrounded by God's Word. It's every aspect of your life, but you haven't read it. How many times did Jesus say, have you not read? They're asking me all these questions like, didn't you read? Step number two, read it. Read the Word of God. Make a plan for your Bible reading and get very specific. Obviously, we all know we need to read the Bible, but make an actual plan. Go home tonight and write an actual plan. If you don't already have a plan to read your Bible, you need to go home tonight and make an actual plan. I don't really care what that plan is. I don't care if your plan is, I'm going to read one chapter every day for the rest of my life. I'd rather you do that than nothing at all. Where you have no plan, it's like you just read it once a month, if that. Get an actual plan for your life. Obviously, we want to try to read as much as we can, but hey, start small. If you're not already, start small. That's why I tell, especially kids out soul winning, you get them saved, I'm like, hey, see how small a chapter is? Just read one chapter a day. Read one chapter a day. And even if you're an adult, I'd rather you read one chapter a day than none at all. Especially if you haven't read the Bible cover to cover, you need to get aggressive. You need to aggressively tackle that issue right now. You haven't even read all the Word of God? I mean, Proverbs chapter number 3, didn't it say we need to seek after wisdom, that we need to know the commandments of God, and you haven't even read it one time? I mean, aren't you seeking after God? I mean, don't you want to know what God said? Just read it one time, and it really doesn't take that long. But you know what you got to do? You got to make a plan, and you got to be committed to that plan. You know, if you were to read 3 chapters a day, you would finish the Bible in a year. I mean, how long have you been in a church, and you haven't read it one time? You could have done 15 minutes a day. You would have already been done by now. If you've been in church for years, you could have read it, you know, multiple times already. It really only takes 15 minutes a day, and that's not too much to ask. And God doesn't specifically outline, like, okay, you need to read 22.75 minutes a day. God doesn't specifically outline, but you know what God says? Hey, you're supposed to talk about it when you wake up. You're supposed to teach it diligently to your children. You're supposed to write it on your wall. God doesn't give a specific time for each day, but you know what? God does want you to know His Word. So we should all be trying to do as much as we can, to be trying to immersing ourselves as much as we can. And everybody's situation is different. Some people are able to read more than others, right? You might even have people who are not even physically capable of reading, right? They might be elderly, or they might be disabled, or something like that, where it's really hard for them to read, or you know, something like that. So, I mean, like I said, every situation is going to be a little bit different. But generally, I think everybody should at least be trying to read 15 minutes a day. Bare minimum. And you can make time for that. I don't care how busy you are. You can set apart 15 minutes in your day. That's not that much. And if you got more time than that, make a bigger goal. And make sure you keep your goals where it's reasonable, where you can maintain that every day. Look, the title of the sermon is Being Immersed in God's Word. I'm not getting up and telling you every second of your day you need to be immersed in God's Word, where it's like every second of the day you need to be looking at the Scriptures. That's not what I'm saying here at all. I'm not like, hey, you're in church, why aren't you looking at the Scriptures right now? You need to be immersed in God's Word 24/7. You need to be listening to the Bible while you sleep. That's not what I'm saying. And I don't necessarily think that'd be a bad thing to do. Hey, maybe that would be good, where you're listening to it while you're sleeping, but that's not what I'm saying here. Obviously, we want to do things that's practical, that's reasonable, things that you can consistently do every single day, and that's going to vary from person to person. I don't necessarily expect a mother of 10 to be able to read the Bible for 5 hours a day, okay? That's not practical. That's not reasonable. But 15 minutes, everybody can do that. And if you got more time on your hand, read more than that. Read for 30 minutes a day. I mean, how much do you want to get immersed in God's Word? Where's the limit? Now, I wouldn't set your limit. I wouldn't say, well, I'm going to read for 5 hours a day, because I don't think that's sustainable. But if you're able to read for an hour a day, go for it. If you're able to read for 2 hours a day consistently and you're not going to burn yourself out, go for it. And I notice myself, when I'm getting burnt out, I know I need to dial it back a little bit. So do something that you can actually manage and you can keep doing for the rest of your life where you're not going to burn yourself out, but you have an actual plan. Your plan might be, hey, I'm going to read the Bible once a year. Great. I would love it if everybody in here at least read the Bible once a year for the rest of their life, rather than reading it four times in 1 year, and then they burn themselves out and never read it again. But everybody in here is capable of reading it, if you can read. Obviously, a child might not be able to read, but everybody in here is capable of reading it once a year. That's definitely possible, and you could do far more than that, right? Be immersed in God's Word, where you can read it a lot. Read it for an hour, read it for 2 hours. But like I said, don't burn yourself out. Start small and work your way up. As I said, I want to make it practical as well. When you wake up in the morning, I think that's the best time to do it. Now, personally, I don't always do it that way. You know, I like to sleep in. When I get up in the morning, I can't just like start reading the Bible. If I get up in the morning and immediately started reading the Bible, I'll literally go back asleep. Like, I can't do it. Like, I've tried. I wish I could. So for me, it doesn't work. But that's the way I like to do. Like, best case scenario, if I could actually follow this, this is what I love to do, and that's what I think would be best for everybody. You wake up at 5 a.m., you have a cup of coffee, and read the Bible. That, to me, sounds perfect, because I love it in the morning. You just sit down, or it's quiet, and you can have some coffee and read the Bible. But that might not be possible for everybody, and I can't do that myself, okay? I like to read on my lunch break. Sometimes I have to take it, I'm forced to take it. That's just a good hour. You can sit down, you can really read it. I'm awake. You know, in the morning, if I don't have my coffee, if I don't have time, you're rushing to work or whatever, don't always have time to read it. But make a specific time in your day where you're reading it consistently every day. I don't care if it's in the morning or at lunchtime or at night. I think it's best to read in the morning. Because then you're starting with, because once you start looking at your stuff on your phone and you start thinking about problems in the day, you start thinking about work, by the time you do read your Bible, you're really distracted and it's really hard to focus. So that's why I think you should try to read it in the beginning of your day, if at all possible. But if not, fit it in other parts of your day. Read it at lunch. I wouldn't recommend doing it like late afternoon at nighttime, because again, if I read the Bible at night, I will go to sleep. Like if I stop preaching right now and just like went home and sat down on the couch and like read like one or two chapters, I'd probably fall asleep. And it's like 6:40. So again, and if you wait till the end of the day, you're probably not going to get it done. You know what happens if you put it off? You just keep putting it off, and now it's midnight. Like, crap, I didn't read today, right? And that happens to us all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And again, if I do that to myself, I'm probably going to fall asleep after half a chapter. So again, I think best case scenario, read it in the morning, have some coffee, so you can actually get it done. Try not to put it off and try to get it done early in your day. You know, another way you can be fully immersed in God's Word, where you can actually accomplish your reading goals, is bring your Bible with you. Bring your Bible with you everywhere you go. It's not a hard concept, is it? But you got to have the Word of God and you need to read it. How are you going to read it? You need to bring it with you. You know what you need to do? Have one in your room. Have one in your living room. I mean, Bibles are $1 at the dollar store, okay? Everybody in here is capable of having multiple Bibles. You can get them free on your phone. You really don't have an excuse to own a Bible, okay? We're in America, we speak English, most of us, right? We don't really have an excuse for actually owning a Bible and having it. But just have one everywhere you go. Keep multiple ones in your house, keep one in your car, bring one to church. I mean, bring your Bible to church. Make sure whatever's being preached actually matches what the Bible actually says. Because you need to be immersed in God's Word. You want to actually know that you're following what the Bible says. Bring your Bible everywhere you go. Bring it with you to work. Right? Just take it with you. I put it in my backpack, and you read it on your lunch break. Make it practical. Bring it everywhere you go. And if you can't do that, or you don't want to do that, you don't want to carry it around, you got it on your phone. You got no excuse, but get it on your phone, have it accessible somehow where you can actually bring it everywhere you go. And what I love about that is, especially if you're trying to get your reading, if you're trying to accomplish your reading goals, you always got your Bible with you. You know what? Any downtime, you can help accomplish that goal, right? You go to the doctor's office, you go to the dentist, you're waiting in line at the grocery store, you're stuck at a train. You know what you can do? Pull out your Bible and read a chapter, right? Don't you want to be immersed in God's Word? I mean, that's why we want to try to apply this to every aspect of our life. If you always got your Bible with you, then every time's a good time. Like I said, don't take me over literal where you got to read your Bible every second of the day. But I'm saying, if you want to try to actually get your goals accomplished, find ways where you can fit it in somewhere. And, like, literally, if I see a long line at a grocery store and I haven't finished my reading for the day, I'll literally take out my phone and read a chapter. And that's just one chapter closer to my goal, right? And even if I don't finish my goal, hey, at least I'm one step closer, right? And I feel more accomplished. Like, well, at least I tried to fit it in. I got something down. But it's better than nothing, right? So always try and find ways. And what I love about that is that I hate being forced to waste time. Like, when I'm working and I get stuck at a train, I'm getting paid. So I don't really bother me that much. unless I want to go home right away, right? But you know what? If I get stuck at a train, I can just sit there and read the Bible. And now it's no longer wasted time. I hate when I'm forced to waste time. We all need time to chill out and, you know, we can waste some time or whatever. But I don't like being forced to, where like you're stuck at the dentist office for an hour and there's nothing you can do. But you can take out your phone, you can make that profitable time, and then I don't feel bad. It's like, no time was wasted. I actually got some reading done. It was great. Again, remember the goal, immersing yourself in God's Word. And what did the Bible say as well? To put it on the post of your house, right? You're supposed to bind it up on your arm. It's supposed to be as frontlets for your eye. And it literally said to put it on the post of your wall. I think it's a great practice we should actually all do. Put the Word of God in your house. Yeah. Print off some stuff. You can find free stuff online. Literally print it off and put it on your wall. And you're just completely surrounded by God's Word, all aspects of your life. Put a little sticky note. Put it in your car. Do whatever. Find ways where you're coming across God's Word. Even simple things. You think about steadfast. You look at a thing that says steadfast. What does that make you think of? The verse of 1 Corinthians 15 about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So find ways where you can see God's Word everywhere you go. So that was about reading the Bible. What's some other ways we can be immersed in God's Word besides reading is listening to it. If you got some downtime, if you're not doing anything, if you're doing the dishes, you're driving your car, you're at work, you can listen to the Bible a little bit. Put it on for 30 minutes. I mean, if you're not listening to anything else wholesome, why not? Turn off the ungodly rap music. Listen to the Bible for 30 minutes. It's going to do you much better, right? Especially if you're just doing nothing. Listen to the Bible as much as you can. If you're working, you're at the gym, you're just in the car, you're in the shower. I mean, you can find ways to get the Word of God in you, but you just got to decide, do I want the Word of God? Do I want to be immersed in God's Word? And if you want to be immersed in God's Word, you're going to find situations in your life where you can apply this anywhere in your life, where you're going to be always centered around the Word of God, listening to the preaching, right? You want to be filled with God's Word? Come to church 3 times a week. You're going to get a lot of the Word of God, and you want to be immersed in God's Word? Come to church 3 times a week. You're going to hear so much Scripture. It's going to be great. Oh, how I love thy law. I love hearing the commandments. I love hearing good preaching. Not only coming to church three times a week, online too. If you got downtime. Obviously, I'm not saying that every day you need to read the Bible for 2 hours, listen to the Bible for 2 hours, listen to 2 hours of preaching. I'm not saying there's where if you don't do these things, it's a sin. What I'm saying is that you should be trying to fill your day with as much Bible things as you can. That way you are immersed in God's Word. And if you have time, if you're able to, listen to some preaching throughout the week. Listen to a pastor preach the Bible. Listen to the Bible itself, filling yourself with the Word of God. And obviously, like Pastor Shelley preached as well, you can have too much of a good thing. You know, you don't want to burn yourself out. I notice if I listen to too much preaching, I'll get burned out on it where I don't want to listen to it anymore. So I try to limit myself. You know, throughout the day, one thing I love about my job, I'm able to listen to stuff all day. So I can freely choose. Like, I can pick this time to listen to this, to sing or to pray or do this or whatever. And for listening to sermons, I'm able to listen to as much sermons as I want. But again, I don't want to burn myself out, but I can listen to a sermon a day, and that works for me. And if you're at home or you're at work and you can find time where you can listen to a sermon, great, do that. Incorporate that into your life, and you're going to be better off for it. Why? Because you're going to be immersed in God's Word. Like I said, I'm trying to make this very practical so you can apply this in every aspect of your life. And you want to find a balance. Like I said, you can have too much of a good thing. I wouldn't advise listening to eight hours of preaching every week, okay? So build good habits. Don't push yourself too hard. Another way you can get immersed in God's Word is memorizing Scripture. Memorizing the Word of God. That's going to be so good for you. There's nothing better than knowing God's Word, having it in your heart, and you're thinking about it. It's so amazing knowing God's Word. And when you start memorizing the Bible, you start understanding it so much more. Reading is one thing, memorizing it, you understand the Bible on a completely different level. You know why Pastor Shelley has a lot of wisdom and people like hearing his preaching? Because he has a lot of Scripture memorized. He knows the Bible really well. You know why people love hearing Pastor Anderson preach? Because he memorized a lot of Bible. Because he understands the Bible really good. Why? Because he memorized a lot of Scripture. And if you want to be immersed in God's Word, try to memorize some Scripture. It said in Deuteronomy 6:6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Obviously, I don't think God expects every single person to memorize every single word of God, but that's not a bad goal, right? To know every single word of God would be great. Obviously, that's going to take a lifetime, but that's something we should be striving for, is just learning more and more as much as we can, whatever we can handle. There isn't a specific amount I'm thinking of, but we should be reaching for perfection where we're trying to immerse ourselves as much as we can. And I think this is something you can add. I don't think you should go home tonight. It's like, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible an hour a day. I'm going to listen to a sermon a day. I'm going to listen to the Bible for an hour a day. If you're not already doing these things, then I'm going to memorize five verses a day. Like, don't start off like that, okay? Start slow. Start with the basics. Read your Bible every day. Start with that. And then start incorporating more and more as you can. And start with the basics as far as memorizing. How about just memorizing the verse of the week? I mean, you got 7 days to memorize one verse. How long does that take? It doesn't take that long, and eventually you'll know the entire chapter. You'll have an entire chapter of Word of God memorized. You're going to know it really well, and I think we're all capable of that. It takes 5, 10, 15 minutes. I mean, again, one verse a week is not that much to ask, and I think that's a good goal for everybody to have that we can maintain. That's not that much, and we want to memorize God's Word, so again, we know what God's commandments are. I mean, do you know the two greatest commandments in the Bible? Start there. If you don't know that, start there. What's the two greatest commandments in the Bible? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you know these two commandments, the Bible says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a good place to start. If you don't know God's word, start with those two things. Know the two greatest commandments. Know the Ten Commandments. Do you know the Ten Commandments? I'm not asking you to memorize every single verse of the Bible, but do you know the Ten Commandments? I mean, that's 10 things. Know the two greatest commandments, then know the 10 commandments. I mean, start somewhere and then build your faith, right? Try to keep up with the church's memory verse. Another way you can be immersed in God's word, soul winning, right? What are we doing out soul winning? This is all about God's word. We're just out going door to door, sharing God's word with people. That's going to help you be immersed in God's word. You're just hearing the gospel preached over and over again. You will be given wholly to the scriptures when that's what your life is about. Making disciples. If you're making disciples, what do? You're teaching them to be like Christ. You're teaching them doctrine, right? Try to encourage your brethren, teaching them good things, teaching new converts good things, making disciples, trying to get them to be soul winners. These are all things you can be immersing yourself in God's word and encouraging other people to be as well. And again, I talked about earlier, what was the life story of Jesus Christ? He's just wholly given to the scriptures. That's what his entire life was about, ministering the word of God. And he's our example. Aren't we supposed to be following Christ, right? And if that's what his entire life was about, that's what I want my entire life to be about. I want to be immersed in God's word. It says in Matthew chapter number 10, verse number 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." That's a powerful scripture right there. Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross and follow him, he says, you're not even worthy of him. And we should take that to heart. I want to be worthy of Christ. I want to take up my cross. I want to follow him, right? And how am I going to follow him? I need to immerse myself in God's word. Obviously, we're never going to be perfectly worthy to God, but there's a big difference between people who are not trying to serve him at all and people who are zealous for him and trying to do as much as they can. And thank God we are saved by faith alone, because nobody's going to be, you know, following him as best we can. But we should be striving to, right? Because he said if we're not taking up a cross, and we're not worthy of him. And so we should be trying to immerse ourselves as much as we can in God's word, not only because it's in our best interests, but it's also going to help the people around us. It's also going to help our families. And you know what? It's going to glorify Jesus Christ. That's what our lives should be about, right? glorifying Jesus Christ. I mean, he shed his blood for us. The least we could do is serve him as best we possibly can. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Our lives should be completely surrounded by the Word of God. Try to get it in you as much as you can. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you so much that we have the Scriptures for the light and life they bring. And I just pray you'd help us all, Lord, to get more immersed in your Word so we can know your Word better, that we can follow you better, that we can be pleasing in your sight. And just help stir up that desire in the hearts of everyone here today. And we love you, Father, and just pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
All right, for the final song, song number 373, So Send I You. Again, that's song number 373.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid. Send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, or wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world the weary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and
dismissed.